This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we're visiting with Mr. Lori Olivier. He is the Chief Executive Officer of LifeQ, the leading independent provider of biometrics and health information derived from wearable devices and is used in world-leading health management solutions. And Mr. Olivier, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thanks, Eric. My pleasure.
Hey, you're certainly more than welcome and looking forward to learning about LifeQ. So tell us, you bring over three decades of global technology and business leadership as the CEO and founder of LifeQ, and you've served on the boards of more than 50 startups, private and public companies around the world. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you founded LifeQ.
Eric, that's an interesting story, actually, quite contrarian to the profile which you just mentioned. I grew up in rural South Africa on the Botswana border, you know, without amenities. We didn't have any electricity, no TV. But, you know, as you could guess, that launched a fire inside me to learn more about the technology world. And then, you know, of course, to also study. And I studied electronics, commerce, law, and data science. And then not long after that, I ended up driving the technology innovation strategy of the largest conglomerate in South Africa, a company with the name of Anglo American, where I became responsible for venture capital and private equity. And then that sort of passed my way into becoming a venture capitalist with a pioneering Israel VC firm, which with the name of Veritas Venture Capital. And so during my tenure at Anglo, I became involved in VC and private equity in all countries in the world. And that brought me ultimately to Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, from here, I'm actually, you know, got quite involved in VC and developed relationships with some of the leading institutions like Georgia Tech and Emory, which actually, again, brought me back to South Africa to actually judge a venture capital startup competition where I met my two co-founders there, Dr. Franco De Pria and Rian Conradi, where I was a judge at a business plan competition. And actually the innovation which they presented sort of didn't make it through, but what I liked from them, you know, is their ability as computational systems biologists to model the human body and, you know, into equations so that you can almost have it sort of digitally in front of you in the computer. And, you know, with being in VC, that just gave me the sort of very, you can say naive or futuristic sort of view. That was before any wearable devices exist, to actually think whether one cannot provide an electronic interface around the human body and connect it in real time with the digital world. Through the systems biology approach, therefore, to be able to calculate a lot of biometrics, which otherwise you would actually have to measure invasively. So that would, you know, being a VC for quite a long time, Eric. I've been in the VC business since the mid-80s. You know, you could see the Silicon Wave, you could see the PC wave, the Internet wave, the cloud computing wave, the mobility wave, and you know, it just struck me that, you know, if one could have a non-invasive monitor on the human leverage all these technologies, you can really take the impact of silicon on society one step further, because ultimately everything, you know, sort of surrounds or ventures around the human. And to take it to a next level of efficiency, having the humans connected into this digital world in real time, you know, could not only, you know, improve productivity and things which the current systems do, but also take health to a next level.
Yeah, thanks for sharing some of the highlights there, and it helps us understand where you've come from and what you're all about, and really looking forward to hearing more. Now, tell us, if you would, what is LifeQ's mission, their overall mission, and what does it do that is currently not being done?
Well, I think LifeQ summarized in two words is aging well. So LifeQ enables just regular wearable devices, almost like a sort of health operating system, which we put on these devices, and so that we can control the devices in a way to get normalized outputs, which is different from what you get from regular consumer outputs, and to feed that into these sophisticated models, which then enable, you know, humans to have a holistic view of their health, and also have a much better idea in terms of cause and effect, and help them to find ways to enhance their performance if they are extreme athletes. But, you know, if they just sort of a health nut to get more views on themselves, if they are just an average human being, to warn them when something is going wrong. If you're sort of like a coach potato, sort of like you can find a sort of a easy way to improve your health, and if you're sick, to cure better. So I think that's on the one side. On the other side is to enable third parties to have a real-time view on the physiologies of people, 24/7, longitudinal, of course, and to engage with humans or end users, which became patients if they're sick, and or, you know, which might be athletes if they, you know, want to go into super performance, and to help them where they can't help themselves by having access to that same 24/7 data, human, you know, physiological data of the humans. So LifeQ really enables this entire spectrum on top. So we partner with a lot of wearable device companies. It's not just an app on top of the wearables. We've been allowed sort of inside the wearable, because the type of information which we tap out of the human body is rather different than what you would get from an average consumer electronics device, and very much tailored towards the specific health, you know, problems which we try to solve, which you can change dynamically, and that's necessary, because otherwise, you know, you will just kill the battery of the wearable. You know, you cannot just draw just tons of data and have the luxury of doing a lot of analytics on top of that. You have to be very, very targeted and surgically, you know, have a surgical precision way of doing it.
Yeah, also another question for you as well. Tell us about the biggest pain points when it comes to the digital aspect of healthcare, and as well as your outlook on health and wellness technology looking ahead.
Sure, Eric. Of course, you know, digital health is a very broad sort of term, and being used loosely for a lot of things. You know, you could cover things like telehealth, telemedicine, electronic health records, you know, health big data, health AI, health IT, all the omics. You know, there's different ways how digital technologies are being used to enhance medical devices, to do care coordination. You can think of a lot of mobile health apps. So one actually really have to think about what you mean by digital health. But I mean, from our point of view, one of the key things for me, which I think is a pain point, is it's something new for the medical profession. So it's not something which they used to. So it takes some time for them to embrace it, to augment and supplement what they do, and which, you know, over time could even replace some components. But to embrace the productivity component for doctors, which are so busy, to actually make life easier, that's on the one hand. On the other hand, I think the key thing which you know, which you want to so you talk about pain points. So the other key pain point is to make it sort of accessible and affordable to all. You know, it doesn't help that you have all these specialized medical devices which cost thousands of dollars. You know, that's why we thought, from LifeQ's perspective, that just targeting the average wearable device and converting that through very smart understanding of human physiology into 24/7 monitors of human health and human physiology, and I think that I think is the right approach to go if you really want to make an impact on society at large. I think other things which are also still struggles in the in this part of digital health is the regulatory side, where the FDA and other regulatory bodies still struggle how to embrace, you know, this fact that that digital health data, you know, is not always as accurate as medical devices. In some cases, it would be, but not always. But on the other hand, it has this sort of ongoing coverage. And how do you actually get the, you know, trade off the benefit of having context of the person over a long period of time versus, you know, which might be sort of like 97% accurate with, versus something which is 99% accurate, which is a snapshot, medical snapshot. So how do the medical profession and the regulatory authorities deal with that? I think that's still an issue. And then I think the other thing is there is a sort of in some ways sometimes a stigma on the digital health, because so many people come into it with less than medical grade products, or very much things tailored to their specific issue which they try to solve, and to get credibility behind that, you have to have a platform which are being perceived and embraced by society at large as credible, so that they can rely upon that, not only the doctors but the humans as well. So those are all things which are important. I think also, you know, if you talk about just wearable devices, you know, to create stickiness, to make sure that what you present is not, you know, you have to present things in the vein of people's habits and lifestyle, and not come forward with these outlandish things which people will do for a month or 2 months and just then, you know, throw the device in the drawer. So there's quite a few pain points which one will have to venture through.
Well, you certainly covered the base as well. A thorough response and much appreciated. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Laurie Olivier. He is the Chief Executive Officer of LifeQ, the leading independent provider of biometrics and health information derived from wearable devices using world-leading health management solutions. And he's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's health news and technology channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, how is LifeQ sequencing its coverages of cardiovascular, respiratory, sleep, fitness, mental, and musculoskeletal, renal, and other areas? Get into some of those aspects there.
Eric, thanks. Yes, I think the secret of LifeQ is to look at holistic health, because, you know, that's the problem which you have with many partial digital solutions which only target one area. The body is hugely interactive. You know, what happens in your sleep space impact on your cardiovascular space, what happens in your cardiovascular space impact on what's your sleep space. You know, so if you think about fitness, respiratory health, musculoskeletal, you know, hepatic, if you look at it from all different angles, you cannot just actually look at it from one side. So we do actually tackle health holistically. However, you know, you have to start finding a seam into the consumer mind or into the user mind where they can relate to immediately, because some of the stuff is new and they would not necessarily trust it. So I think where LifeQ started, we decided to first focus on more the areas which impact things like sleep and activity and fitness and cardiovascular, which, because those are the things which are very much in the front of the people's mind based on consumer electronics devices. And from there, we are actually venturing into the respiratory space, the mental space, the musculoskeletal, hepatic space, etc. But throughout the underlying features to all of these systems, there's a lot of commonality. Remember that wearables, as we use them today, you know, initially start focusing largely on cardiac parameters, measuring things like, you know, a pulse waveform through your veins, your heart rate variability. But from that, you can actually derive a lot of things also in the respiratory space, in the mental space, of course, you know, sleep and all those other areas, fitness, activity. So, you know, doing it holistically, but approach it from where the consumer can relate to first, easiest, and also perhaps where it's less regulated, because as I mentioned, the regulatory authorities still take some time to get their arms around, you know, the use of digital data for very advanced clinical applications, which there are a lot. So we are actually rolling out dashboards and things you know, for cardiologists, for sleep clinicians, etc., where you can use this very much in advanced ways for managing things like, you know, different arrhythmias, you know, different sleep breathing disorders, different cardiac disorders, etc. So,
with all this information you've shared so far, it certainly seems you are making a difference in the healthcare space through technology. Now, how do you foresee LifeQ fitting into the future of healthcare and the overall health and wellness of people who use it?
Eric, I think there for me, the overarching theme which we have is sort of aging well. If you think of where we want to impact is on preventative health. 85% of all health expenditure is on chronic diseases, and chronic diseases evolve over time. Problem is, people think they are healthy, but they are not healthy, and these things evolve. So the trick here is to get them to have, in an easy way, a view in terms of what's happening in their lives, make it entertaining, getting them engaged, but at the same token, provide them with real value. Otherwise, they won't stick. And it's ironic, if you fight aging, if you do things, you know, which show a person which is healthy, they can become more healthy or younger, if you like. But at the same token, you know, for those people which are older, which, you know, start experiencing these age-related diseases, ways to actually at least slow it down, you find that there's actually good use. So. This one theme actually cover both health, people being healthy and sick. And I think from that perspective, LifeQ provide ways for people to actually see when an acute disease is before acute disease is actually in onset. You know, what would be the sort of like baseline health? Then, you know, have warnings when it's almost like a radar for an aircraft, that, you know, something is happening. And then we have signatures which actually identify what is likely happening, and then at the right stage help the consumer to connect with a specialist third party which can help them. But if not that advanced, of course, give that individual also the tools to actually deal with that with themselves. So it's all about measurement, because you have to give people the ability to see progress in a very short period of time, and you have to show it in quite granular level, because if you look at it just on a holistic level, you cannot always get the gratification for the interventions which you do. Now, many of these interventions, you talk about lifestyle, this environmental, this pharmaceutical, all of those, there are lots of them available, but the one thing which is very important to know is that we are all genetically different. And, you know, when you talk about all these, you know, sort of interventions like fasting, exercise, etc., people try to have this one size fit it all, but it's not working that way. It's very personalized. So what LifeQ does is provide a very personalized view of what you should do. In fact, we calculate, we can tell you if you, for instance, exercise for another 2 minutes per day in a heart rate range of 125 to 130, you can actually statistically add 30 days to your life, which basically means you can make yourself 30 days younger. So it's in your hands to actually get yourself younger. We will provide the tools and the visibility and the measurement and the instant feedback so that people can stick with it and, you know, make a difference to themselves and to society. Very important as we're all getting to live longer because of good healthcare intervention or medical intervention, to also make sure that lifespan is also being, you know, followed by an increase in health span, meaning that doesn't help you get older and you are just can't enjoy that extra, you know, period of lifespan being added to your life.
Mr. Olivier, we certainly do appreciate your visit and also for all you do through LifeQ in the healthcare space and for all this information shared as well. For those listeners who are interested and want more information, where's the best place online to get further details on LifeQ?
You can just go to lifeq.com. It's lifeq.com.
Well, that certainly sounds easy enough. Again, Mr. Olivier, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio, and hopefully we can have you back on with an update in the future.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you also for the listeners for the time, and appreciate the opportunity to talk to all.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Dr. Lori Olivier. He is the Chief Executive Officer of LifeQ, the leading independent provider of biometrics and health information derived from wearable devices used in world-leading health management solutions. And for all the details, once again, simply visit LifeQ.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.